Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Nancy C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And today is Monday, June 2nd. And today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 101, the first paragraph, starting with, "We meet these conditions every day." And let me introduce Team Monday for the month of June to you. We have readers of the text today is Kathy S. and Nancy P. is reading page 164. And reading the 12 steps is Karen W. and the 12 traditions is Julie R. And our newcomer greeter is Benita L. and the host for the second hour is Karen K. Let me give you a couple of share IDs from the last couple of days. The share ID for Sunday, June 1, the special edition, is 22,483. That's 22483. And for, I don't have Mondays yet. I will get that to you later. Our preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. And our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And today, I'm going to ask Karen W. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Karen W., compulsive overeater from Katy, Texas. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Karen W. And I'll now ask Julie R. to please read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Julie R., recovering compulsive overeater. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, Beth.
Thank you, Julie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. We apologize for the dog. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic in the literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. And so to share, press 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume the study of the Big Book. We're on page 101, the first full paragraph, and Kathy S. is going to get us going this morning. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Nancy. Thank you. And this is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. We meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something the matter with his spiritual status. His only chance for sobriety would be someplace like the Greenland ice cap, and even there, an Eskimo might turn up with a bottle of scotch and ruin everything. Ask any woman who has sent her husband to distant places on the theory he would escape the alcohol problem. this is just, it's a continuation from what we talked about last week about spiritual fitness and what are the conditions that we meet every day. It's basically life. But things that come up for me are circumstances like weddings and birthdays, vacations, graduation, Braves games, things that in the past, all I ever thought about was the food. It was all about the food. I remember when I first came in to OA and learning about abstinence, and I was like, no way, I can't go to my kid's wedding and not have cake and champagne. And yet I did, you know, I met that condition because of my spiritual status. And I'm so grateful for that. It is possible. And I think the thing was that those quote conditions or life circumstances, I began to see what they were really about. Like a wedding really is not about the cake and champagne. It's about the union of two people for a commitment, a life commitment with each other. And, you know, and it's, and I'm there for the right reasons and motivations. And where, again, as the past, my alcoholic mind, all I thought about was the food that was involved and how I was going to manage that or the excitement. And everything was my meeting, quote, was about fear, force, and control versus today meeting calamity, what might come up as calamity, or maybe a stressful or exciting moment with serenity instead and kind of peace of mind. That's the non-alcoholic mind, the emotional sobriety. And I'm just so grateful because it's been through this process that that I can get there. And how is that done? It's by, you know, taking all the steps, you know, understanding that I'm powerless over life, but that God is the one that brings me, who restores me to sanity. It's through any disturbance that I have, I take it through a 10-step inventory, and I look at where am I being selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid. And in looking at those things, have I considered maybe a different angle? Again, putting my hope in God, who is with me, ever present, who has the power to keep me safe and to provide for me in these circumstances, as he always has. And the food, just, I do my part. I'm responsible for my food, and everything just kind of falls into place. It's been an amazing ride every day, and I'm just so grateful for my time already. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathy S., for getting us started. And so now I'm going to take a list of people who want to share on this topic. And we value everyone's opinion, but we ask that if you have spoken in the last 3 days, so that would have been on any vision meeting, so that would have been Thursday or Friday of last week, we ask you to step back and let other people have a chance to share. So who would like to share on this topic?
Kelly G.
Kelly G.
Christina L.
Christina L.
Carol B.
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
I heard Lisa. Somebody else was before her.
Liz.
Who else?
Carol B.
Liz
Tulsa.
E. UK.
All right, Carol B. Liz K. Liz E. from the UK.
Liz E. in the UK.
I got you, Liz. I got you. All right, so far I have Kelly G, Christina L, Lisa B, Carol B, and Liz E. Anybody else want to get in this first lineup?
Vasa O.
Vasa. Anybody else? All right, well, we'll start with this list. We have... Kelly G., and if you wouldn't mind saying your state when you start your pitch, that would be great, and you'll be followed by Christina L.
Sure. Thank you so much. Kelly G., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. What a beautiful lead, Kathy. Thank you, and thank you for your service, Nancy. I so relate to this geographical move. This was me. I grew up in New York. Started out in college for 2 years in Rhode Island, and my eating and my binging became out of control, that I figured, you know what, if I'm in a warm climate in Florida and have to wear less clothes because of the heat, I'm going to be more motivated to want to look better. And so I'm going to go to Florida, and that's going to solve everything. And I went to Florida, and I moved to Florida, went to school here, and my compulsive overeating just increased, man. It multiplied. And the thing is that it doesn't matter where I am, because I am always where I am. And my mind, and this disease centers in the mind. So it makes no difference what coordinates on the map I am. This disease is everywhere. And so, you know, for today, this recovery of mine does take planning. I'm one of those people who, I'm at the airport and I bring my own food. When I'm on the plane, I bring my own food. And that works for me and I love it. I'm never in a situation where it's like, oh no, what do I do now? Like, oh no, it's a meal time. I didn't think about it. Like, I'm never not thinking about when my next meal is in terms of how I can make sure I get my needs met. I'm responsible for my recovery, and it doesn't matter where I am in the world. I know what I need to do to keep my abstinence and keep my spiritual fitness. And so it takes planning. It takes, you know, being one step ahead and making sure that my needs are met. But location-wise, it doesn't matter. And I'm grateful for that, because if I didn't know that, I would be all over the map. And Yeah, today I just need to know that my inner compass is all that matters, and that's God-centered, and that's God-driven, and when I look at that for my guidance, like, I'm safe. I'm going to be okay. I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly G. from Florida. And next we have Christina L., followed by Lisa B. And Christina, tell us where you're calling from as you start your pitch.
Good morning. Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. And yeah, the first two shares have been absolutely incredible. Thinking back, like, what really struck me was that first two sentences of this paragraph and, you know, the conditions that were mentioned in the first share reminded me of my own conditions that I've had to go through. And, you know, weddings has definitely been one of them. And this year I was on a cruise while I was on my eighth or ninth step. My mind was not thinking about the food at all. And that's a miracle because probably seven or eight months ago, as I was getting ready for this cruise and knew that it was coming, you know, I was not recovered. And my mind was all about that cruise and what I was going to have and how much of it. But that was not the way that I wanted to show up because I knew what would happen. And that's just not the way that I want to be today. I know that I have an alcoholic mind. For me, like when I first came into program and got abstinent and stuff, I had a food sponsor. I didn't come into Vision or anything. It was just in the room. And one of the things that she taught me was before I left to go wherever I was going, because when I first got abstinent, there were a lot of family functions going on, and thank God it was family. But she taught me to always turn to God and ask God for help in being abstinent when I was going. She never told me not to go, not that I recall anyway. Maybe she did, but that's not what I remember. And if she did, then maybe the turning to God was the second thing, but he told me to just ask God for help in staying abstinent and pray before I went. And then when I left, to pray again and thank God for getting me through it abstinently. And I did that like every single time. And that's what I've done every single time I've had to face an event or circumstance or condition. My mom is in the hospital, and you know, first thing I did was make my food to bring with me when it was going to be during my mealtime. And I, too, have, like, taken my food to four weddings so far. And, you know, no one cares. No one notices. It's not a big deal. But when I first started, I was terrified of doing that. Thanks, Nancy. And with that, I'll pass. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Christina L. from Florida. Next up, we have Lisa B. from South Carolina, followed by Carol B. Lisa, you have the floor.
Good morning, Nancy. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm calling from South Carolina. Thank you for your service. I wanted to talk about we meet these conditions every day and spiritual status. This paragraph is a promise, and I have found it to be true. I have to, I just look back, you know, on my own in abstinence only. I can't stand it. And there's a difference between abstinence and being recovered. I used to think when I'm abstinent, I'm recovered. But abstinence alone is a temporary state and it's very painful. But when it's combined with a spiritual awakening, it can be permanent and it can be done happily. You know, the forward to the second edition tells me about permanent recovery. I noticed that in the very beginning when I was reading with my sponsor. I couldn't believe what was there in front of me. It's talking about I can have permanent recovery. I thought I have to be continually relapsing and going back into the food. But before 12-step recovery, I didn't really know what spiritual fitness meant. I can ask myself, you know, daily today, am I protecting my spiritual status? And I also remember, you know, coming in and today, you know, still everything today doing the same thing. When I show up with a willingness and take action, God does step in and he supplies me with the power. The other thing I like to remember that, you know, when I'm working with fellows, it's not about the food, but, you know, in the beginning it is about the food. But when it's about the food only, the surface of the problem is just, it's just hardly scratched. You know, it's really about my personality change that I so desperately need, that alcoholic mind that needs to be, it needs to be removed. And I was thinking in the forward to the AA 12 and 12, it says AA's 12 steps are a group of principles, spiritual in their nature, when which if practiced as a way of life can expel the obsession to drink and enable the sufferer to become happily and usefully whole. So my character has changed. You know, the Lisa of the character of Lisa, you know, has been changed one day at a time. And that's really what I wanted to share. And I spell my name L-E-S-A. Thanks so much for your service. I pass.
Thanks, Lisa B. from South Carolina. And next up, we have Carol B. Carol, please tell us where you're calling from as you start your share.
Thank you so much. I'm Carol B. as in diamond, and I'm calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I also live part-time in Coppell, Texas as well. So kind of between two states. I just want to thank y'all. And today is the first day that I get to call myself recovered. And I used to try to isolate from everyone because I didn't know what I could eat. And I got a vision sponsor who helped me narrow it down and had me check out a few things. But in October, there was one item that God told me, this is what's setting things off, and you need to stop it. And I had gone on a 40-day trial of that just to see, a little more research, and my mind was clear. I never knew my mind could be this clear, guys. And so I actually told God, no way. I am not going to completely give up this item. I will do it in moderation. After gaining like 13 pounds in 4 to 6 weeks, I decided God was pretty serious about this item and that if I wanted health and to be able to serve his purpose and really ask him daily what's the next right thing, that I better find a sponsor, a new sponsor. And so January 1, I started a journey with a new sponsor, surrendered to God, saying I'm going to finally be totally abstinent. I thought I would be judged because my body to people already looked like the right size, but what was going on in my head and the binges that were going on and the former restriction, I mean, God had a lot to deal with in me. But I am so grateful for Vision, for the moderators, for Lisa right before me, because she called me as a community call. She was one of the people that spoke into my life about this ingredient. She probably doesn't even remember. But there's nowhere I could put myself and stay away. Food is, I mean, it's everything. But it's so cool to see when I finally surrendered that one ingredient, everything else, apparently, eligible too, she says. So I have to be very aware that, who knows, there may be a new ingredient that comes up that I need to surrender immediately. But right now, I am just so grateful to have gone through the steps, ending with a call last week where she made herself available to finish the working with others. And I have a first person that had been reaching out to me, seeing the hope that I have received from a higher power. From my
reminder.
Yes. Anyway, just thank you so much, and I will close with that. I am just very grateful. Thank you all for all being there.
Thank you, Carol D. from Oklahoma. And next up we have Liz E. from the UK. Liz, please share with us, and you'll be followed by Vasa. And for those of you who just jumped on the line, just let you know where we are. We are on page 101, the first full paragraph. Liz E., please take it away.
Good morning. It's Liz E., recovered compulsive overeater in Bristol, Southwest England. And I'm just so happy to be here. You may or may not know, us in the UK have had significant problems finding a mechanism of getting in. So anyway, I'm here and I'm really delighted that I'm at the meeting. This paragraph is so important, and we meet these conditions every day. And it's not just about the food, it's about the behaviour. It's about the way being recovered means. It's about being emotionally sober. And who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something the matter with his spiritual status. And yes, I do go into self-will. And sometimes more often than others, I should. And that's when I know that I am off. And, you know, I've had a bit of a bumpy time recently. And I invested more time in doing outreach and doing step 10s and, you know, more program. And guess what? I got relief. Guess what? I didn't have to scream and shout at people because I had looked at my part in things, and there is always my part to take account of, always. And it's so true. It is irrelevant where I am in the world, where I am, whatever I am doing, my program is my program. But the single most important thing is my relationship with God and with higher power. And, you know, if I don't do as much as I should, then I notice, and my alcoholic mind pops up, because I always have my alcoholic mind. This is not a vaccination, this program. It doesn't give me any immunity. Today is day one for me. Every day is day one. And yeah, I have to work this hard. And I can't tell you how happy I am to be speaking here today with all of you. And Thank you. And with that, I'll pass. Bye.
Thank you, Liz E. from the UK. Next, we have Vasa O. from Massachusetts, and then we're going to take another list of names. Vasa, yes. Please share with us.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Nancy, for your service. And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And this is another good paragraph. Our experience shows that this is not, I'm sorry, the one underneath. We meet those conditions every day, and this is with everything in my life. It started with the food addiction at the beginning, and I'm just so grateful I found a program, and I was introduced to the Big Book right from the beginning, and I'll never be so more grateful. So I did not know when my sponsor brought me to the program, and she said that we need to surrender to a power in order to conquer the addiction, not with just the food and with life and life's problems as we go along. Being abstinent, we needed to find a power greater than ourselves. And I said, whatever it is, I am ready. Just give me whatever the power is. And she said, you just have to surrender. Well, I didn't know I was surrendering, but I did surrender. In my bathroom, and I guess God is everywhere, even in the bathroom. That's where I met my higher power, and I'm so grateful for that. But I remember saying, how am I going to... I came to the program October 25th, okay? And I remember saying to her, how am I going to do this? My daughter's birthday is November 11th. Halloween is coming. My anniversary is coming. Excuse me, the Christmas parties are coming, then the New Year's. And she kept on saying to me, we only do this one day at a time, one meal at a time. I couldn't even imagine even staying abstinent for one day. But because I was ready to surrender and I asked God for help, and then I threw myself into the right from the beginning. And when the temptation came back, I get on my knees. My sponsor could not be all day long. Watch what I was putting my food in my mouth, you know. And I needed to pray to God, whoever you're out there, please help me. And one day at a time, I remember I was hearing people, they were abstinent for 1 week or 2 weeks. I said, how are they doing this? Or a month or 2 months and years? I said, that's impossible. Well, that has become possible to me to deal with life and life's problems, good and bad, being abstinent. And I do call myself recovered today because I don't go to those alcoholic foods that set up the craving into my body.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have a perfect life, but I have good abstinence and I go through life. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa O. from Massachusetts. And we're ready to take another list of names to people who want to share on this topic. Please give me your first name and your last initial.
Patricia Mara J.
Jennifer C. Claire E. from the UK.
All right, I heard Patricia, Claire, Jennifer.
Lisa B.
Patricia P.
Tamara
Lisa
J. Lisa B. Tamara.
Anne-Marie M.
Anne-Marie. All right, let me tell you who I've got, and you can tell me who I've missed. I heard a Patricia P., a Claire E., Jennifer C., Lisa B., Tamara, and Anne-Marie M. Who did I miss? Does anybody else want to get in this lineup? Well, then let's start with Patricia P. Patricia, you have the floor. Please tell us where you're calling from when you start your pitch.
Yes, my name is Patricia P. I'm from Barron Springs, Michigan. And that phrase about you're choosing a health plan or the right plan, my OA sponsor, Vision for You sponsor, admonished me that it was important to find a food plan, and she helped me to navigate to the OA website where it showed the three different options that turns out it's not according to OA literature, but approved literature, but it allowed the recovered or that was working for the different members use a food plan, and she had requested that I text her my red and yellow foods. And it turned out, I remember a few while back when I was working, I could afford to buy my own food. And so I got order online from Walmart. There was one of the participants of my insurance plan. At that time, I was able to have $202 a month to work on, but you also needed your food debit card to pay for the shipping and handling and driver's tip and all. But once I lost my job, I couldn't afford to do that anymore. I ended up having to eat the foods at I live in an ASC home, adult foster care home, and I had to choose to eat their type of food. And a lot of times I had pork bacon and pork sausage, which I used to love, but I decided to even give up the milk because I was trying to follow my food plan. And by God's grace, one day at a time, even though I was still eating cooked food, I found that I was abstinent, and by going back to the vegan lifestyle, which my church prescribes, we're supposed to eat the Genesis 1:29 diet, which is fruits and vegetables or anything that God created. And so I can't eat anything cooked or whatever. I just had was able to go to a Sunday support group. It's once a month at our church and Seventh-day Adventist church. And I was late for the program, but I turned out I broke my right ankle 1 year ago, and I broke it again last week or so. But this time I was, instead of having to go to rehab, I was able to get it cured in a few days. And I had to ask my neighbor to give me a ride because I was half an hour late for the program, but I missed the exercise portion, but I was able to tune in to this talk for the day, and they happened to talk about relationships and the importance of that. And it said that if you have three or fewer friends or acquaintances or that you keep up with, call or text, whatever, you're not in very good mental or emotional health.
Gentle reminder.
Okay. And then I just want to say that I had time to say that by going back to the vegan lifestyle, no animal products, no sugar, I'm able to stay abstinent now. And I just thank you for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia M. from Michigan. And next up, we have Claire E. from the UK. Claire, please share with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Nancy. It's great to hear you. My name's Claire E. I'm a recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in the UK. And like Liz, I'm super excited to be here today because I haven't been to a live meeting for about a month because of various different technology issues. And for anyone else struggling with technology, this seems to work. So do get hold of us to ask us what we're doing if to get on. And here's this recorded. So this paragraph's great. I mean, you know, it reminds me yet again that my my sobriety, my abstinence depends on my spiritual status. You know, it's my connection to a higher power. And, you know, depending on externals, you know, trying to control my externals, you know, in terms of where I am and what food's around and who's offering me what is a very temporary and very dodgy higher power to have. You know, at some point that dam is going to break. Whereas when I'm, you know, connected spiritually, when I have a good conscious contact with my higher power, you know, I can meet any conditions, but, you know, really externally, whether it's good, bad, you know, life has a habit of being lifey. And food is everywhere. You know, people are eating. I've just spent a pretty long, hectic weekend at work. There is food everywhere. It's very easy. Other attitudes, you know, we need some, you know, sort of stuff to get through us today, you know, and this sort of stuff. It's so easy to slip into that. But when I'm spiritually connected, as thank goodness I am today, it just doesn't do it for me. It's not a problem. It's just other people's food, and that's as much connection as I have to it. And, you know, when the food is loud, it's really a very good barometer for me that there's something the matter with my spiritual status. And I think it says on the next page, you know, that if we're feeling disconnected, if I'm feeling dodgy, that's when I need to put these sort of slight, you know, safety nets around myself, because it is dangerous for me to go out or go on holiday, or particularly in early abstinence, you know. And I say this to sponsees, you know, what I have to be very mindful and try and, you know, make myself safe. But, you know, if I'm making myself safe forever, that's not neutrality around food. That's not spiritual connection. That's not relying on a higher power. That's relying on a human power and my own control. And you know, the evidence shows that's very unreliable. So, you know, I think there's a Chinese proverb. I love this. I won't, please forgive me for not getting it completely right. But it says, you know, rather than expecting to carpet the world, you know, we must learn to wear slippers. And that's my experience. You know, I have to make myself spiritually fit so I can navigate any circumstance, any food stuff, any emotional sobriety, you know, sort of situation, so that I can maintain my peace and I can maintain my abstinence by maintaining my spiritual connection. And then it doesn't matter what circumstances are thrown at me. And, you know, I have teenage children, I have a husband, I have stuff all over my house. I have all sorts of things that I would never eat in my house, and they don't call to me. And that is the miracle of recovery.
Mental reminder.
It's not only not only am I able to abstain, but I'm able to abstain so happily. And that's the message, I guess, of recovery. Thank you so much. Great to be here, and I'll pass with that.
Thanks, Claire E. from the UK. Next up, we have Jennifer C. Jennifer, please tell us where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Good morning. Good morning, Nancy. Good morning, everybody. You know, I was just thinking, like, what a process this is. What a process this is. And it's such a one day at a time. It's such a one day at a time. You know, the doctor's opinion talks about different types of alcoholics. And when it goes into the physical allergy and how we're all in this distinct entity, it describes different types of alcoholics. And it says there is the type who always believes that after being entirely free from alcohol for a period of time, he can then take a drink without danger. That's me. As free as I could be, And you know what? All of a sudden, I'm so free that I get tricked into thinking that I can play around a little bit because I'm so free. And that's why this is such a one day at a time. It's fitting myself, right? This spiritual fitness. I fit myself every day to be of maximum service to God and the people around me. I fit myself, you know? It's like working out, you know? I do all the reps, you know, so I can carry the groceries and so that I can live life on life's terms and show up physically, right? So why do I do this work? So that I can fit myself to not want the food, to not want it. And, you know, it's such a process because I remember in the beginning, I really wanted the food. You know, I'd go into Thanksgiving and I'd have to do all this work around my abstinence so that I didn't eat off my plan. And then I remember a couple years in having this moment of realization after Thanksgiving was over, I had this like realization that I never thought about the food one time, but I didn't just not think about eating it. I didn't think about not eating it. I just didn't think about it. It was all about the presence. It was all about being present. And that was like, wow, I didn't even think about not thinking about it. But you know what? It's still a one day at a time because this disease can take the best of the best moments where I don't want the food. And then all of a sudden, 3 days later, I think I did such a good job by not wanting it that now I want it. So this is a one day at a time. And I just want to say, you know, all this emotional sobriety talk, oh, well, am I recovered or am I not recovered because, you know, I flipped out. Here's the thing. According to this book, recovery means that the food is no longer a solution. So when a sponsee calls me and says, you know, I lost my cool and I blah, 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 and I did this and I really wanted to eat yesterday and I don't know if I'm still recovered, I just say, wait a second, you really wanted to eat yesterday? Yeah, I really wanted to eat. But did you eat? Did you eat over wanting to eat? No, I didn't use food to cope with wanting to eat. Sweetheart, you're in a recovered state. Food is no longer a solution today for anything. And that's what recovered means. And so I just have to stay really clear. Emotional sobriety didn't even come into play in Bill's mind until years after his physical sobriety. So thank you all for being here. Love this process that we're in together. And with that, I pass.
Jennifer, before you get off, where are you calling from, please?
Calling from South Carolina, Nancy. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Jennifer C. from South Carolina. And next we have Lisa B. Lisa, please tell us where you're calling from. And you have the floor.
Good morning. This is Lisa B. from Michigan, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for allowing me to share. This was a hard one for me for the longest time. When I read that, my ego got in the way and I'm thinking, oh my God, there's something wrong with me because I'm not food neutral. I mean, or in the past. Most of the time now I am, but not always. And because self-centeredness is the core of my disease. But when I surrender to God and trust and rely on Him, I'm good. I'm good. And it's amazing to me. I've cooked food and served food and things like that that used to be major binge foods for me. And it was just, I don't know, unfathomable to me that I could do that. But that's the power of God. That's not my power. And I struggled with the wording and things like that and got caught up in all of that and didn't notice the God part, you know. And I guess I'm a slow learner sometimes because I forget that piece periodically. And it's like triggered and things like that. And I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? Why am I feeling this way? And it's like, because you're easing away from God. That's why. Thank God today for the program of OA and all of the other 12-step programs and specifically for Vision, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa B. from Michigan. And next up we have Tamara. Tamara, if you can give me the initial of your last name and tell me where you're calling from, that would be swell.
Thank you. This is Tamara J. from Georgia. And, you know, 20 years ago, I was in therapy over this food condition, and the therapist at the time felt I was making such good progress that I was ready for going into residential treatment, which was the geographical cure I always fantasized about, that if only I could be physically removed from all the temptations, that I would be great. The problem was that there wasn't any residential treatment program in Georgia at the time, and so it meant that I would have to go out of state where my insurance wouldn't cover it, and it would cost $30,000, which was our entire savings account. And my partner was so, I think, desperate for me to be in recovery, insisted that we do it. So we spent $30,000 to put me in a 30-day residential treatment program. And of course I did great while I was there because somebody else chose the food, cooked the food, gave me the food in the right proportions. I had some good insights while I was there. And friends, I will tell you that I don't even think I made it to a week or 2 weeks after leaving that program before I was back in the food, because I had not figured out yet how to be in life on life's terms. I am so grateful for this program and the lessons today, that the solution is not external, that it's not a self-help book, it's not a diet, it's not a meal plan, it's not any of that. You know, that the 12-step program is about helping me change my personality, change my thinking, change how I behave and show up. And when I put the focus on my spiritual practice on a daily basis, then the food magically seems to take care of itself. You know, and the spiritual practice for me today is this, you know, starting my day, 7 a.m. with a meeting while I'm walking. It's calling my sponsor. It's working the steps. It's using the phones, using the tools of the program, doing a step 10 inventory every day. The more I use the tools on a daily basis, the miracle is somehow the obsession gets lifted. And I am so grateful for that insight, because otherwise I'd still be out there trying to get into debt, chasing some external cure that doesn't work, or at least doesn't last. I've had to make amends for that $30,000. It took us a long time to save that back up again. So I just got back from a week-long vacation in Jamaica, my home country, where I couldn't get the foods that I wanted. And again, thanks for this program. Thank you. I was able to get through that abstinently. So I'm so grateful for all of you today. Thank you so much. Tamara J. from Georgia.
Thank you, Tamara J. And next up we have Anne Marie M., and then we'll be able to take maybe two more pitches. Anne Marie, you have the floor.
Thank you, Nancy. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina, gratefully recovering through God's grace and by working the steps in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was just thinking when the first sentence, when we meet these conditions every day, and, you know, what conditions were they talking about? Going to people's homes that have alcohol, or going to, you know, the movies that shows drinking scenes, can't go to bars. And I was thinking, if I had to apply that to the food, where would I be able? I wouldn't be able to go anywhere. I wouldn't be able to go to a store that sells food. I mean, I was at Lowe's Home Improvement yesterday, and they have snacks, you know, candy snacks there. So I couldn't imagine if I tried to avoid any place that had any kind of food. So that certainly wouldn't work for me. And I remember reading this early on, this sentence, and this is how I read it. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something wrong with him. Excuse me. And I don't know, it just was years since when I really realized that there's something the matter with his spiritual status. And what is my spiritual status? What is being spiritually fit? For me, is spending time with God, quiet time with God, and praying, not only praying, but listening and pausing before I take any action, asking God for direction. That's how, I keep spiritually fit, along with following the instructions in this book, following the directions, working with others is being spiritually fit for me. Page 86 to 88, following those directions, you know, not only just doing the nightly review or prayer in the morning, but all the stuff in between, you know, throughout the day, asking God for direction. And my mind goes 100 miles a minute. And for me to pause and ask direction takes discipline. And I was listening to a podcast about using our willpower, and I never thought about using my willpower to pause. You know, using my willpower to ask God to help me. You know, using my willpower.
Mental reminder.
But just using my willpower to do God's will, and I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. from South Carolina. And we do have time for one more share, or possibly two short ones. So let me take two names and we'll see if we get one or two in.
Lauren Grace B., New Jersey.
All right, I heard Lauren, Grace, and did I hear Elizabeth?
Yes.
All right, Lauren and Elizabeth, if you each take 2 minutes, we can get you both in.
Great. Tell me when 2 minutes is over. I'm Lauren Grace B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from New Jersey, right now in Myrtle Beach in South Carolina. You know, this always trips me up. I have to admit, I always feel less than. I've been recovered just recently for 3 years, and, you know, I would say I'm 90% neutral with the food. I have a family. There's junk all over my house. It doesn't call me. But I have to admit that when we're at a family gathering and people are eating dessert, sometimes I feel left out. So that's my unfit spiritual condition. I'm feeling greedy. I'm feeling left out. And I will tell you also that the minute I pray, the minute I just say, God, I'm feeling left out. I'd really like to have some of that dessert. It goes away. It's such a miracle. And I appreciated what was shared before. That, you know, if you feel like you want food sometimes, but you're not turning to it for the solution, you are recovered. I would agree with that 100%. When I'm struggling, it never crosses my mind when something big happens that food is the solution. And I am just so grateful. So I just wanted to throw that out there. If anybody else is wondering, you know, oh, once in a while, what somebody else is eating looks good. It's okay, as long as we're working the spiritual aspects of the program and turning to God in everything, we are not less than. We're just different. And took Dr. Bob 2.5 years, as we learned yesterday. Maybe I'll be 3.5. I don't know. But I'm just trusting God in it. It keeps me humble. It keeps it green for me. So in a way, I am grateful for that 10% of not always being neutral. And that's all I have to share. Thank you.
To the second, Lawrence Grace P. from New Jersey, thank you. And our final share will be Elizabeth D. Elizabeth, where are you calling from? And you have the floor.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth D. I'm calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. I hope I can do exactly 2 minutes myself, so please keep me on track. I have been in OA for 30 years and spent quite a bit of time in 90-day OA, for those of you who know, it's like how. And my abstinence was very strict for a number of years, and I also had a lot of fear around my abstinence. Today, I don't have fear around my abstinence. I am entirely abstinent a day at a time based on my spiritual fitness. And yes, there are times when food is not neutral. And sometimes it's in a moment of stress, and sometimes it's in a moment of great joy and ecstasy. It's really, that happens to me sometimes, and the food is not neutral. But as long as I don't act on it, as long as I turn my will toward asking God for help, which in those moments usually means asking for help and then making a phone call or sending a text, the relief comes almost immediately. But it is a process, and I no longer fear going to dinner parties where I won't have my scale. I go to that dinner party and I ask God for help before I go, and before I eat my meal, I say a little prayer. I go into the kitchen and I talk to the cook. I do what I need to do to take care of myself, and then I leave the rest to God. And I know that if my motivations are to stay spiritually fit, everything will be okay. And so it's a contented
attitude
that I'm going for. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Hey, thank you, Elizabeth D. from Massachusetts, and thank you to everyone who shared today. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, June 2nd, 2025, is 22,485. That's 22485. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Nancy P. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Nancy, please read for us.
Hi, Nancy. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P. Kevin Westman, Massachusetts. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Excuse me. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.